From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. World leaders gathered this weekend to see what they could do to stop the financial bleeding worldwide. And we look at the state of retail sales. Businesses are in trouble. Does that mean more holiday deals? Dr. Julianne Malveaux is here to help us understand the latest in money matters. She's an economist and the president of Bennett College. Hi, Dr. Malveaux.
Hi, Farai. How are you?
I'm good. More tough news. President Bush organized a summit of the G20 leaders this weekend, and those are the 20 biggest global economies, including China, which launched a huge financial stimulus program. This comes at a really continuingly tough time. Citigroup says it's going to slash more than 50,000 positions. Japan says it's formally in a recession. In light of this kind of news, what came out of that meeting?
There was a significant amount of tension in the meeting with France, with the French talking about more collective rules and with Mr. Bush talking about the free market. The question of how do you regulate capitalism was really on front and center in the conversation. How do you begin to regulate? Should you regulate? And so all they agreed to do was to talk again. However, it was important to have this meeting. It was not just a meeting of the top 20 economies, Farai. It really was a more integrated meeting than we've seen in a long time, with people, countries who might not have otherwise been at the table sitting there, Brazil, some others. And so we're beginning to see the 21st century from a demographic perspective that we've not seen before.
Do you think that this is really... is this going to affect everyday folks in the U.S. anytime soon, even if, say, people who are part of this large international coalition pull together? Is this going to produce short-term changes, or even if it works, will it be down the road?
I don't think that there are any short-term changes in the works from this conversation that was held this weekend. I think that every individual country has the possibility of their own short-term changes. But first of all, trying to get everyone on the same page and then to move in lockstep is going to be very difficult. I think what the meeting this weekend reminded us is how intertwined we are. But at the same time, when have you last heard someone in the United States speak about poverty? So if we look at this, poverty is not on the front burner. It's capital markets that are on the front burner. When does it trickle down to the hood? Not until the hood asks for it.
All right, let's talk more about domestic issues. Things have changed with the bailout plan, and there's this idea that you can really move this bailout plan to free up credit. How does that affect people? First of all, this bailout plan really has not been set in stone even now. But when we talk about freeing up credit, what does that really mean?
We're talking about the fact that lots of Americans are overextended and how we might provide them with opportunities not to wreck their credit, but perhaps to give them some of the same opportunities that banks and others are having. You're right. This thing is not set in stone. Henry Paulson came in with three pages of handwritten notes as a justification for $700 billion. The fluidity of his proposal is very clear now. It started out as being banks and Wall Street. Now we have the auto people. We've got a whole lot of other people saying, what about us? The only constituency that is not being represented is the constituency of the poor. Even if you did a 90-day to 120-day foreclosure freeze, half of all black folks rent. So that would not affect them. Half of all Latinos rent. It would not affect them. Most poor people rent. So we're looking at something that is sitting on shifting sand. And in sitting on shifting sand, I think it's raising the hackles of most voters. And we'll see what happens in this lame duck session that begins tomorrow.
Do you have any idea what's happening with the real estate markets? I mean, I've read reports that in New York, which is one of this a very unusual market, things have not changed a lot so far. But in most cities, they have sometimes dramatically double-digit drops in the prices of homes. Anything we can say about what we're seeing on that level?
What we know is that the borrowing against home equity, the skyrocketing of home prices over the past 5 years, 20% at a time, All of this has been fake and not real, and so we're seeing markets readjust themselves. Of course, New York real estate with international buyers bidding for it, San Francisco as well, possibly LA. There are a few markets where you're going to see some stability, but by and large, you're going to see property values drop, and they're going to continue to drop. If I were about to buy, I'd hold on to my money and wait for about 3 months to see what happens. There are lots of opportunities for people with cash, but for people without cash, you have lots of opportunities to lose ground.
All right. Speaking on 60 Minutes last night, CBS show, President-elect Barack Obama said the nation had few options left but to increase federal spending. Here's what he said.
I think what's interesting about the time that we're in right now is that you actually have a consensus among conservative, Republican-leaning economists and liberal left-leaning economists. And the consensus is this, that we have to do whatever it takes to get this economy moving again. That we're going to have to spend money now to stimulate the economy, and that we shouldn't worry about the deficit next year or even the year after.
What do you make of that? The idea we shouldn't worry about the deficit, that we have to spend money. Do you think he's right that there will be a consensus, a bipartisan consensus on that?
I hope there will be a consensus because I think he is right. We have to create jobs. We've shed 1.2 million jobs in the last year. We've got to replicate some of those jobs. We've got to do the infrastructure thing, which pumps money into the economy. Yes, we have to spend, but there's a difference, Farai, between spending on something like a war, where's the return, and spending on something like infrastructure, human beings. You see the return. You see it in terms of people paying more taxes. You see it in terms of cities and towns looking stronger and better. The conventional wisdom has been don't spend, and the previous administration has not spent on human and social services, but spent on other things. So now I think the president-elect is saying, let's look at ways we can jumpstart this economy. And that's his biggest priority, is to jumpstart the economy. And it means putting money into it.
What about the auto bailout issue? We mentioned that briefly just talking today. But when you have auto sales dropping for various manufacturers, some of them dropping 20-odd percent, some of them dropping 40-odd percent in the past month, that is almost unthinkable. It just means that people are holding on tight to their, you know, their hoopties and praying for the best, praying that the oil change will keep it going. Is it in America's interest, and in what way, rather, would it be in this country's interest to invest in the auto industry and keeping it alive?
The word you use that is most critical is invest. I don't think that there should be a bailout where we just give the auto folks money and say we lend it to them and don't collect. I think that if we think this industry is going to bounce back, and it must, it's one of our core industries, then we have to talk about investment. I think we also work against ourselves if we decide that on one hand we want to boost up auto, on the other hand we want to have a green agenda. If the two of those go hand in hand, then perhaps we ought to impose some conditionalities on the industry to say, moving forward, as we manufacture more cars, they're more environmentally friendly and things like that. I just hope that we don't do what we've done in the past, which is throw money at industries that we think are not doing well. If we're going to talk about restructuring our economy, then we really have to talk about having some say over the ways we invest and what these companies do moving forward.
What about states? There are, well, states and municipalities. You have some governors looking to tax hikes. Governor Schwarzenegger in California wants to look at hiking the sales tax. Nevada, is looking at gasoline. When you think about these basic issues of sales, gasoline, how do they affect people who are poor and working class differently than people who are wealthy?
Well, they obviously hit people at the bottom just more harshly. We're looking at what we call regressive taxes. In other words, there's so much money you're going to spend on groceries. And so if you talk about a basic tax, the people who spend proportionally more of their income on groceries are also going to spend proportionally more in taxes. Ditto auto or gasoline prices. You know, there just is a limit to how much you can spend on those things. While I understand the sentiment of mayors and governors, they've got to get revenue too. They're seeing the same drop in tax revenues that the federal government is seeing. And in addition, in many, many cases, they have laws that prevent them from floating deficits while the federal government can. So they've got to pay year by year. They've got to pay one way or another, and I understand that. But maybe what should be offered, if we can relieve Wall Street, what about cities and states? What can we do to allow these cities and states to do some short-term borrowing so that they cannot essentially imperil us? Here's the deal. If we do any kind of tax cuts and bailouts at the federal level, but the states come to take it back, it will not be economic stimulus.
All right, a quick hit. Is it a good time to go buy retail goods?
If you have cash. I mean, if you have cash, you're in the catbird seat. If you have cash, you see things that you wanted 3 or 4 months ago that are now maybe a third less than they are. Every retailer, if you have all these credit cards, you're getting things in the mail with coupons that are 20, 30, and 40% off. If you have cash, it's a good time to jump into the retail goods market. But be careful. Be extraordinarily careful. Don't let the fact that you have cash let you overextend yourself and look at where you're going in the future. Here's what I'd like to see people do. Make a list. What do you want to do? What do you need? How much money are you going to spend on Christmas, Thanksgiving? Who do you want to give gifts to? And then go out there and enjoy the sales. But don't go out to experience the sales if you don't have the dollars for them. The sales are there. Oh, they're absolutely there. Retailers are excited. But you've got to be the master of your money.
All right, Dr. Malveaux. Thanks.
Thank you.
Dr. Julianne Malveaux is an author, economist, and News and Notes contributor. She's also president of Bennett College and joined us from the studios of WFDD in Greensboro, North Carolina.